Good morning. It is so good to be here today and good to be alive. Had some very bad storm damage at the house last Sunday evening, so I'm thanking God for his protection because a large tree that could have fallen on our house decided to fall a totally different direction and landed against a little brad. I showed Milton the picture. And this little Bradford caught this big, huge, strong willow tree and held it up all night. And when I got out there the next morning, that tree was still holding up that willow. And when so my buddy Joe come over with chainsaws, and we got to cutting, and finally, he told me, he said, "You're going to see this thing do a spring effect." So he cut this upper weight of the tree off. And just like you might see in a cartoon, that tree went right back up and just still leaned. But, you know, I thank God. And that's why I want to preach on God's power at work. That's what I'm going to preach about today. Because God's power is still very much at work. When even in the midst of trials, tribulations, storms, even in the midst of good times, whatever's going on in life, God's power is always great, and it's always at hand for us because God loves us and cares for us. But I stood at the front door watching the ground do this, not sure what was going on out there in the dark, but I had the porch light on and the lights flickering, and then all of a sudden I watched that tree come up, and I was praying, "God, please spare our home. Please protect our trees and everything." And that tree, I watched it fall over and just, it's almost like God took his hand and just gently laid it over on that Bradford and then placed it in the care. I tell you, God's power is everywhere. I can testify of that. Acts chapter 5, verse 12, if you would turn there in your Bibles, please. And when you get to Acts 5, 12, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. Acts 5:12. At the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were taking place among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's portico. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we're so thankful for the reading of your word. And Father God, we're thankful, Lord, that your power is still at work and still mighty. And Father, we need your power in our lives. We need your power in our church, dear God. We need your power all over, Father. We need you, dear God, above everything else. Father, pour out your Spirit upon us in a mighty way today. And when we leave this place, we can say that our hearts and lives have been touched and that we have been transformed. Now, Lord, as I preach this message, let every word come from you, Father, and we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Sounds like somebody's alarm's going off. Yeah, I thought I heard that. I thought, am I just hearing bells or what? First thing I want to look at this morning with God's power at work is how God's power works within a holy church. And I want to read to you from Acts chapter 4 and verse 24. Oh, I got to go back over one page. Acts 4:24 says, "And when they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, it is you who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them." And then verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. First thing I want to look at today, if we're going to have a powerful church, we have to be in one accord. As I just read to you, reference from God's Word in Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, it said they were all in one accord in Simon's portico. And in verse 31, when they prayed, they were praying together in one accord, and the Holy Spirit came and filled every one of them, and they all began to speak with boldness. And I believe that today it is just as important as it was back then that we as God people, as God's children and people, remain in one accord. You know, the church cannot function in what God wants us to do if we're going in different, you know, directions. If we're chasing different dreams and beliefs and all this other stuff that's out there, we're not going to satisfy God's commandments and God's will and plan for His people. So it's important that we are in one accord. And what does that mean? When we come to church, whatever we do at home with our family members, whatever we do in the workplace, we have to, but basically for the church being together, we have to do it in one accord. We have to stick together. See, a church that sticks together, a church that prays together, a church that's in agreement with God's Word, that's in agreement with what the Lord's wanting to do, that church will advance. That church will continue to grow. Now, I see a lot of churches, and I've spoken this quite a bit. There are churches where the doors are closing left and right because these people want to do this, those folks want to do that. Nobody can agree upon anything that's to be done in the church. And that's where we have to remove ourselves. We have to deny ourselves. We have to take up our cross, and we have to follow Jesus. I want you to know this. When Jesus spoke to the Jews many times, Jesus always spoke, and He didn't say, "I'm here doing my will." What did He say? He said, "I am doing the Father's will. I am keeping my Father's word." And what has Jesus spoken to us as we being His children? Jesus said, if you are my disciples, then you will, He said, you will love me. You will keep my commandments and you will live for me. And the Bible says that if we do that, we will remain in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we will abide with Him and we will also abide with God the Father. And this church has been here for a long time. Why is that? Well, here, I'm going to give you a couple examples. I hadn't said nothing in past sermons. And I'm not going to mention people's names either. I want to keep this as they were testifying as what the Lord has done. But I've had different people say to me, I've been to Bosque Del Baptist Church during the yard sale. And I had people say to me, you know what? I sensed the presence of the Lord at that place. The people were so joyful. They were so friendly. They said that when we got there, we just enjoyed it. It felt so relaxing, basically. And I've heard other people say to me, and this is funny, back in January, I preached a few Sunday nights at another church. They needed somebody to fill in for a few Sunday nights. And I went. And there was a gentleman, I'm not going to mention his name either. He asked me to keep him anonymous. But he said to me, I used to go to Bosque Del Baptist Church when I was a boy. And he said, I want to say this. He said, within the four walls of that church, we always had a good time. We always worshiped God. And he said, the preacher that we had when I was a young boy, he said, the preacher preached the Word of God. And he said, the thing that I liked about it, He said nobody ever seemed to argue. Nobody ever seemed to be opposed with one another. And that's what we have to keep in the forefront of our mind. We have to love one another just as Christ has loved us, so that we remain in one accord. Also, the church praised the Lord. I'm telling you what, it is so important that we praise and worship God. When we praise and worship God, it causes God to move, and it causes God to start to fill us with a power from heaven, and it's a power that you and I cannot produce. We cannot go on our own energy and on our own strength. If we try, we're going to fall flat on our face. I kind of got a little bit of this illustration from every time I drive through Marion, go through one part of Marion, there's a gas station, and they got, I think, 10 charging stations, and people have their electric cars backed up there and plugged in. Well, you know what? If those electric cars didn't stay plugged into a source, their batteries would run dead, and then they'd be of no use to the driver, would they? And if you and I, if we don't continue to praise the Lord, our spiritual batteries will basically drain, and we will finally hit to a place where we're of no use to the Lord at all. We won't be able to witness. We won't be able to carry on what God's wanted us to do. That's why we have to be careful not to look at ourselves, and we can't, you know, I could never look at myself and say, wow, did you hear the sermon I preached today? Boy, wasn't that great? No, I don't ever want to go there. That's why when people say, boy, Brother Jim, that was a great message. I would you thank the Lord? Please thank the Lord. I will say thank you to be courteous, but please praise God for that, because every word that comes for the sermons comes from the Lord Himself. But when we praise the Lord, there's so many ways. When we sing the songs out of the hymn book, we should sing with a joyful heart. We should worship because Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And those of us who are called by His name, we are heaven bound. Now, I saw for the last 2 days, and I'm not going to get deep into this at all, but I saw situations where I wondered, I don't even think these people are heaven bound. And I should be joyful that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And yesterday, I should have been more of an effective witness than what I was. And I had to ask God to forgive me this morning. Instead, I looked at people yesterday and thought that they won't want to hear what I have to say. I see I was relying on myself. I should have taken the time yesterday morning instead of hurrying and getting ready to get to the funeral home and get to work. You know, I should have got up and spent time with God, and I should have said, Lord, I ask you to fill me with power today and make me a vessel, Lord. Make me a lighthouse. Let your light shine through me so that people living in darkness can see you in me and that I could reach out to them. But I didn't do that. I failed yesterday. But the more that we praise the Lord, we will be strengthened and we will have the boldness to go out and tell others about Jesus. Prayer. Praying together. That's why it's important when we have the opening prayer, and then we have our prayer request and time of prayer. You can't pray enough. I believe it's important. The Bible says that we should pray without ceasing. Did you know you can drive your car and still pray? Now, I just ask you, don't bow your head at the wheel. Don't bow your head and close your eyes and hold on to the wheel and say, take the wheel, Jesus, I got to pray. Please don't do that. I tried that once as a smart aleck, and I almost got in trouble. But it's important. But when you're behind the wheel, whatever you're doing at work, I mean, wherever you're at, you can pray. I stood at the front door the other night, my eyes wide open, watching that tree. God, please protect our house, protect our trees. And He did just that. And I praise Him for it. But see, as a church, if we pray together, as I said, a church that prays together will stay together. When we pray together, we show that we genuinely love and care about one another. And that's what the church is about, showing care and compassion to one another. And then the preaching of God's Word. Man, it's so important. I went to a church. I had a guy that I was friends with. I haven't talked to him in a long time. Don't know whatever became of him. He left the ministry, I guess. But he said, "You got to come to my church and one Sunday and visit." I said, "All right, I will." And I thought, you know, I got there and I thought, man, I wish I was somewhere else this morning. Because he got up there and he opened up, he had some book somebody wrote, and he opened it. And he shared a little bit of scripture, but he started to read from this book in the pulpit. And then, well, let's have our time of invitation. And there was really no preaching of God's Word. And somebody came up, and then he asked me a couple weeks later, he said, "Would you please come to my church?" And he said, "Would you please fill in for me? Because I've got to be gone and with my family on vacation." I said, "Sure, yeah, I'd be glad to." So I went there, and God gave a sermon, and I just preached from the Bible like I normally would, preach God's Word. And I want to say this carefully, what I'm about to say. I'm not trying to point a finger or say that I'm good and he was bad. I'm not doing that. But this is what I want to make a point of. People were coming up to me after service and they said, "Brother Jim, we wish you was our pastor." I said, "Well, why do you say that?" "Because all he does is reads out that book and he doesn't ever share the Word of God with us." See, the people were starving. And I'm not saying that I'm great. You know, I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, when I get in the pulpit, I want to preach to you from the Word of God. I'm not going to preach to you from somebody's book that they wrote. I'm going to preach to you the inspired Word of God, because when we hear that Word, it plants itself within our hearts, within our lives, and it makes us strong. It helps us to grow. It helps us to open the eyes of our heart. It helps us spiritually to see what the Lord is wanting to do. And when we're getting into God's Word and we're fed that Word, then we are strengthened. We know how to walk. We know how to talk. We know how to witness. I always loved listening to my grandpa when he would bring the Word of God in the pulpit. He preached it with authority and he preached it with all of his heart, whatever God was placing inside of him. And I tell you what, if I ever preach something outside of God's Word, I expect somebody to come up to me and say, "Hey, that didn't seem right." I expect that for people to let me know. Now, the fruit of a holy church. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "And all the more believers in the Lord, multitudes of men and women were constantly added to their number." Churches are growing at rapid paces. There are small churches and medium churches and large churches that right now are growing. And we need to look at the church that we are a part of and we need to start saying, "Lord, we need growth." But here's where we need to look at first. We don't need to look at numbers. Here's what we need to look at right here. This is where we need growth first. If we would grow in Christ, if we would let Jesus take a look at our heart and see what needs to be changed and ask the Lord to help us strip away those things that don't belong, and if we ask God to help us recognize things in our life that we need to get rid of and what we need to take hold of, then we would see growth start to take place in our heart and in our life. And when we start to grow in Christ in our lives, guess what will happen? Other people will take notice. Sometimes you're the only Bible some people will ever read. Some people may not ever pick up God's Word or may have never picked it up. But you know what? If the Word of the Lord is alive inside of us and God's growing within us, there will be a radiant light that shines and people will be able to distinguish us from the world. We used to sing the song when I was a kid, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No, I'm going to let it shine." Well, when I got a little older, I thought, man, that song's ridiculous. I was a kid when I... You know what? When I got saved, I realized the importance of that song. We have to let our light shine. But when we start growing in Christ, then we can reach the people that are outside of these walls. If we're not discipled here in our lives, if we're not walking with the Lord, we cannot reach the lost beyond these walls. But sadly, a lot of churches will say, well, this was our number. We need that number to be bigger. Well, I would rather preach in a church that had 5 strong, faithful members than to preach in a church that had 200 and 300 people that weren't being fed, that weren't discipled. People bring people. We are laborers in the field. We're the workers in the field. We've a harvest to bring in. You know, you watch the farmers, what do they do in the springtime? They prepare the field, don't they? You'll see them with their anhydrous ammonia tanks, and they're going, they'll spray the field down. And I think that, I'm not a farmer, but just by watching, I guess they wait about a week or so, maybe a week and a half. And then you'll see them come in with the big tractors, and they'll have the big discs and the plows that basically turns the soil over, and they're preparing the field. And then the next thing you see, they'll bring in the planter behind the big tractor, and those planters is what drops the seed in the ground. And then the I don't know how those planters work, but boy, they drop the seed, and then the dirt covers the seed back up. And then the farmer waits for the rain and the sunshine to make the seed break down and start to grow as it's supposed to produce a crop. And what I'm saying by this, we as a church, we have got to have our field ready. We have to prepare our field. We have to get rid of the weeds. We have to get rid of the rock and the yuck that's stuck within the soil. We have to use God's Word, and we have to turn over and make fertile fields. And then we have to plant good seeds as Christian people. We have to plant the Word of God in the hearts and lives of people. And then we have to bring the rain and the sunshine from the Lord. We have to love folks. And then as God takes care, now listen to this, God's the one who takes care of the seed, not us. God's the one who brings that seed to sprout and to take a root hold and to grow, not us. God does it all. But when we see people start to grow in Christ, I mean, it's amazing to me, farmers plant this little corn seed. And I'll tell you what, comes a time in summer, I've seen corn stalk come out of a seed 10 foot tall, 8 foot tall, and all these ears of corn, and I'm amazed. I see it every year. Beans come out of this little blue, made whatever thing they call that, they put in the ground. And I see a little sprout with 2 leaves, and then after a while I see this big bean plant, tons of them all through the... And sometimes I see people standing out in the fields, and some of these beans are about as up to their waist. And I got pretty long legs, but I seen beans come up to about almost my hip. And so what I'm saying by that, I'm amazed at what God does. If we let God bring the harvest, if we let God take care of the seed and let God make things to grow, what amazing results would happen. And when God starts to work in our lives that way, when it's time to go for the harvest, when it's time to go after those souls, when God puts us in line with the people we're to witness to, God takes care of the heart, and God uses us to be His voice and to tell others about Jesus and His love. And then when somebody gets saved and they come into the church, it's our job, not just the pastor's, it's our job to disciple and love and pray for and make sure that people coming to Christ are staying in the Word of the Lord, making sure that they're staying within fellowship. That's how the church grows. We need to grow spiritually before we can grow in numbers. And then lastly, it's better to obey God rather than men. Why is that? Because God's way is best. There used to be a show on TV, and they still rerun it, called Father Knows Best. And I used to love to watch that show when I was a kid. And if I catch it on TV, I like to watch it today. Because it's a good, clean, wholesome show. But Father knows best, all right. God the Father, He knows what's best for you, for me. He knows what's good for Boscadale Baptist Church. God knows what direction He wants to take Boscadale Baptist Church. And you know what we need in Boscadale Baptist Church? We need every single person, every believer, every child of God to humble themselves, to yield themselves to God, and to say, Father, have Your way. We don't need people in the church saying, Lord, no, I want it My way. And that's what happens. People will lock hold of their own ways, and they say, God, this is how we want the church to be. And I know, because I've been a part of them as a pastor. And I've seen people hang on to, they wanted it their way every day, every Sunday, every month, every year. And God was not welcome. And you know what eventually happened? God went out the door and left the place. And the people took over and the church went downhill. We as a church need to receive His power, and we need to let God move within us. If we don't let God continually be the leader and the head of the church, then we'll never go forward. I don't ever want to see any church in Southern Illinois close its doors because the people were against each other or people were against God. When we come into the Lord's house, I mean, when you're coming to church on Sunday morning, you ought to be excited. Number one, you get to see a good-looking preacher. I'm just kidding. No, actually, you're coming to God's house to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. You're coming here to worship God the Father. Do you know how many people would love to be in our position right now and can't? Do you know how many people are homebound? Do you know how many people are in nursing homes or assisted livings that would love to be in church? I've talked to people who have said to me, oh, Brother Jim, I would love to come to church. I miss it so much. I miss opening the hymn book. I miss the hugs, and I miss the fellowship. And my heart breaks for them because they can't be. That's why you and I need to stop what we're doing and say, Father, have Your way in our church. Have Your way, Lord. We sing the song, have Thine own way, Lord. And now it's time that we start living it. It's time that we as God's church start walking it. It's time that we proclaim it. We need to let the Lord see that we're serious about His Word. What did Jesus do? Jesus was about His Father's business. Jesus always said, it's about the Father, not about me. It's about His will. And that's what you and I need to be saying. It's about the Father's will. We need to tell the lost, I'm about my Father's business. I'm loving Him, and I'm loving the people, and I'm witnessing, I'm praying, I'm reading, I'm serving, I'm doing what jobs need to be done. Whatever God's leading me to do, I'm going to do it. We need to be like a train that's rolling down the track, and there ain't no brakes. We're just going to keep on rolling, and we got to keep stoking that fire. Milton, did you ever get to work on a steam locomotive? No. I know it. Them things are dangerous. Well, when I was a child, I was in junior high school, and over at Marion, Illinois, they used to have a steam train, and they used to run their freight to Carterville with it. And when I was a kid, I loved watching that steam train. A couple of days a week, they'd get it out. And one day, Chuck Ream Sr. asked me, he said, Jim, would you like to ride with us today? Really? I was like, whoa, yeah, I get to ride in the cab of the steam train. Oh, I love that. You know, I was top dog. I had me an engineer's cap on. I was at the railroad every day being a part of them guys. But I'll get to this real quick. What I noticed when we were going down the track hauling the freight cars behind, the fireman would get his shovel and get a big scoop of coal. And he would step over, and there was a pedal on the floor. He'd open, and steam power, and them doors would lift up. Big old fire just raging in there. He'd throw that coal in, and whoo, man, that fire come out that firebox. He'd open up that injectors and let the water come from the tender into the boiler to keep the levels just right. Boy, and his son, Chuck Jr. over here, pulled back on that throttle, and he'd take that reverser lever and pull it back toward him, and boy, that thing start picking up more speed, drawing more power, and man, we get to going, and that thing's a huff. That's the way the church ought to be. We ought to let God stoke our fire, and we should be motivated by that fire, and let's get this train rolling down the track, and there ain't no stopping the Bosque del Express. There ain't nothing going to stop the Bosque del Express. Ain't no devil in hell going to stop this church from doing what God wants it to do. And we ourselves should never get in the way of the Lord's work.